Welcome to the Church of Philadelphia podcast. Get ready for this message to ignite your faith as the power and love of God is shared through His Word.
We have been talking about encounter, the faces of praise. And if you've been along this journey with us from the beginning, we started off with prayer. And now we're in the faces of praise. And today, in particular, we are going to talk about a war praise. That song, that Ty Tribbett song I was playing earlier was just so on point. Shout out to my nephew, Josiah, who helped me figure out what song I was looking for. I just want to first give honor to God, who is the head of my life. I would like to give honor to Apostle Clavin Leonard, our overseer, our apostle, our father, and also my senior pastor, Pastor Lincoln, and his beautiful wife and his whole household. I would like to give honor to my husband and my five children and to each and every one of you. Today, we're talking about a war praise. We're going to go into the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and we're going to bounce around. And a quick shout out to my sister, Minister Katsia, because when we first started Faces of Praise, these are some of the same verses that she gave us earlier this year. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Wow. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baracha, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baracha unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord hath made them to rejoice over their enemies. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. Amen. So far, the scriptures. Amen. Today, we're talking about a war praise. A war praise. And just to give a little bit of, you know, a little bit of background, Jehoshaphat got word that these enemies were after him. And when he got word about the enemy being after him, just upon the hearing of the fact that people were coming to attack him, he began to get afraid. And sometimes we hear things. It hasn't happened yet. It's just the knowing of something. Sometimes we get in that place because we're first natural, and he was afraid. But the good thing, what I love about this king is that he was human, right? So he got afraid, but he didn't stay there. He didn't linger there. He didn't allow his emotions to run crazy in that place of fear. What he did was he said, "Okay, that's scary. I got three nations of people coming after me." But he sought the Lord and he proclaimed a fast, not just for himself, but for all of the people. And the people were in agreement. He and all the people, they came together and they sought the Lord together. I mean, everybody, men, women, wives, children, babies, they all sought the Lord together. And they were able to hear from God and get that comfort. So when we find ourselves, you know, being afraid of all the things, I have a news app and it's always giving me like updates. And I said at one point, I need to just turn this thing off because there's so many things going on that you hear about that could bring about a level of fear. But when we get fearful, you know, which is a natural reaction, we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay in that emotion. We can come together and seek the Lord, because when we seek the Lord, he's going to give us the words that we need, that's going to bring us comfort in these things that the enemy is trying to intimidate with us with fear. Amen. And so just still in the background, as Jehoshaphat and they all came together, all the people, they sought the Lord together. They fasted together. They were in one on one accord. And that level of unity, the spirit of the Lord rested upon a young man named Jehaziel. And he began to prophesy. It never said that he prophesied before this, but because of that unity of all the people having one mind, seeking God about this situation, he began to speak. And God began to speak through him. And he said, you know what? God said, don't be afraid. I know that it seems like we should be, because it seems like it's more of them, you know, in comparison to us. But God was like, no, don't be afraid. This battle ain't even yours. It's his. And so I just want us to know that even with this war praise, you're going to see how we're going to fight through this thing and really honestly not even have to fight at all. He had three nations of people after him. But God said, don't be afraid. It doesn't matter what things are coming against you. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter what letters are being sent in the mail, being typed up, drafted with your name on the emails. Don't be afraid. There are things that people are saying about you. There's the whispers in the night season. But God said, don't be afraid. The things that are coming to intimidate you with fear. Fear comes to paralyze you. It comes to make you feel like you are stagnant and you can't move and you don't know what to do. It's making you question every one of your moves in God. But God said, you don't have to be afraid. This battle is not even yours. They think they're coming up against you, but what they're doing is they're coming up against a mighty God who has a track record that is flawless. Complete victory. You don't have to be afraid. I don't know who all's been battling with fear, with different things, but the enemy wants you to be fearful so that you can be doubtful. But God said, do not be afraid. They begin to rise up. Here we come in verse 20. They rose up early in the morning. Okay, for everybody to say, I'm not a morning person. They rose up early in the morning, everybody, whether it was a morning person or not. And they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, so as they begin to, they came together, they fasted, they heard the word, and now they're ready to obey. They're ready to put this thing in action. They got the word, and now this is the next day, and they're ready. They're like, okay, Lord, you said this battle is not ours. Let's go. So as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, and I love the level of sensitivity that this king is walking in. Jehoshaphat stood and said, so he stopped walking. Everybody's walking like, we're about to go do this. And he stopped and said, mm-mm, everybody not on the same page. Uh-uh, fear's still trying to come in. I don't know who had maybe a bad dream about this fight, about this battle overnight, but he said, he stopped, he stood. And he said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. He understood that even though they were going to execute the assignment, everybody's faith wasn't there. And sometimes when we go to do the will of God, we get that word, we're crying, we're praising, we're praying, and we feel confident in that moment and say, you know what, Lord, this is what you called me to do. I'm going to do it. And then a little bit of time passes. And as you're getting ready to go and do that thing, the enemy tries to get in your ear. The enemy tries to bring thoughts of doubt. The enemy tries to make you feel like, well, maybe this isn't the time for you to do this. He starts to get, you know, he is the prince of the air. And so I'm so glad that God is so mindful of the people that he wants them to walk in confidence. He wants them to go and know that the battle is not theirs. And he wants you to know that the battle is not yours. That even as you're going to obey, you can shut out the different thoughts that the enemy is bringing your way. And God will get a word to you even in that moment because you decided to obey. Because you decided to move forward when everything else is saying, don't go. When the natural world will be saying, this is a situation that you are not going to win. Because you decided to take the word and walk in obedience, Even if you got a little bit shaky, God has something for that. He has a word that can get to you in those moments that will help you to keep going. There's a place that he's trying to take you to, and he has a word that will help aid you and guide you and bring you to that place, because the enemy wants you to stop before you receive your victory. The enemy wants you to halt and to stop before you're able to see your victory. But God's got a word for that. He said, only believe. They were going forth into the wilderness. And when you think about a wilderness, you always have a kind of a negative feeling towards the wilderness. But look at which wilderness it was. It was the wilderness of Tekoa. In the Hebrew, the word Tekoa means trumpet. Trumpets, I began to look throughout the word and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm getting so sidetracked going over all of these scriptures where trumpets were being used. But I will share a few of them with you. Trumpets were used in the word to gather people together, to sanctify a fast, to signify the Jubilee. It was used as an alarm for war or for battle. It was also used to signify victory and triumph. It was used as praise. It was used as a warning. Trumpets have been used as a sign for the people to return back from war. And it's also one of the descriptions of the many sounds of God's voice. And it also signifies the end of a war. So the enemy wants us to be distracted by being sent into the wilderness, but we got to be attentive, because the trumpet is a sound that's meaning that there is an alert. There's some type of message. So when we go into the wilderness, we don't need to put our eyes on how large the trees are and all of those things and what might creatures might be out here. We need to be attentive to what the assignment is, what the word is when we go there, because there's a reason why God is leading you this particular way. There's a trumpet that's going to sound, but you can only hear it in the realm of the spirit. That's why it's important for the key ingredient of your praise to have that element of faith, so that you can be able to hear. That in spite of this place that I'm in, that when others look at me, they look and see that looks like I'm in a place of being lost. But no, I'm in a place of readiness, and I'm being attentive because I got to hear the message that God is trying to send me in this place that looks like a wilderness. It was the wilderness of Tekoa. It was a place where God brought the trumpet so they can hear the word of God, so that they can continue to move forward in this journey that God is calling them to, because he wants you to experience the victory. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Believe. The key ingredient to your praise is your belief. There's been times, I'm going to be honest, there's been times I've given a praise and it was just a hollow, empty praise. There was nothing attached to it. There was no thought attached to it or anything like that. But when God began to show me that, my praise being empty, ever since then, I've tried to purpose myself to have something in my mind. I go way back sometimes, and then sometimes you don't have to go back. It's just, God, you woke me up this morning. And when I'm saying hallelujah, I have God, you woke me up this morning inside of it. So when he hears hallelujah, he hears why I'm saying hallelujah, because you woke me up this morning. He connects to praise just that much. So he knows when the praise is empty, and he knows when things are attached to it. I go all the way back to eighth grade. I was just telling somebody, I was just talking to, I forgot who it was, but it was just the other day, about how much I was terrible at science. Science was not my subject. I still got A's and B's in it somehow, but I just, there's a lot about science I just, you know, didn't understand. And I had a science project in the eighth grade. And we grew up, you know, my mom, you say shout out to the video to my mom. We grew up, you know, learning about prayer, and we grew up in church and things like that. And I was just at my wit's end as an eighth grader. And this was like a huge science project. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be the first thing I've ever failed, you know. But he gave me an idea, and it ended up being so awesome. I was so proud of it. And I want God to know, I remember that. It may seem small, but I remember that. And sometimes I give him praise because I just have random thoughts of things back in the day, but my praise has something attached to it. When I'm praising, it has something attached to it. I remember I had a dream, in the dream, there were like these like swans or ducks in the water. And other people heard them, you know, saying their regular animal sound. But in the dream, when I heard them, when they were opening their mouth, they were saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like, it was just going all across, like, the lake or whatever they were in. And I'm like, it gave me a revelation, like, Lord, when you say, let everything that have breath praise you, the Lord, when you get in the realm of the spirit, like, this is what they're saying. They're actually giving you praise. Like, we hear it one way. It's like Dr. Doolittle. Like, we hear one thing, but God hears something else. So when we're praising, somebody else might be like, oh, they're really praising God. But God is like, mm-mm, they ain't really saying nothing. That's empty. That's hollow. But he knows what is attached and what's inside of your praise. This ain't even in my notes. Thank you, Lord. But that key ingredient to your praise is faith. Just got to believe. When I'm giving God praise, there's got to be a faith attached to it. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So my praise and my faith being connected together is a direct line to heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's look at verse 21. It says that when he had consulted with the people, okay, because remember, he was like, wait a minute, everybody ain't on the same page. I know I see everybody moving, but let's stop for a second. And he had consulted with the people and he told them, come on, y'all, let's believe. We know what God said. We fasted for this. We prayed for this. He's answered us. And then he gave us another word in the middle to let us know to believe. He consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord. He appointed singers unto the Lord. There are a lot of singers in this world today. There's a lot of singers, but he appointed singers unto the Lord. They had a specific job, a specific mission, and they were just appointed. The word doesn't say that these people had previous, you know, experience in singing. It never said that these were the people who were trained to sing and they'd have been through singing classes and everything. No, God was showing him, okay, him, yeah, her, appointed, just appointed singers. And sometimes when we get appointed to do things, we're like, wait a minute, I've never done this before. And it makes us feel nervous. But when we have that faith that's attached to our praise and to our war praise, we understand that the things that God has just appointed you to, he's also anointed you for. These singers may not have ever got before this large group. Look at the mission. They're on their way to war. He appointed singers, not fighters, to begin and to be in the front of the army. They had no time to prepare. They had no time to practice. They had no time to rehearse. They had no time to say, okay, wait, you were out, so you attended. Wait, like, that was no time for that. Okay, in this moment, that there was a time of appointment that he had to appoint the singers. And it just shows me that when God is appointing you, he's anointing you for what he's appointed you for. It's already there. I thought about when I was at the College of New Jersey, the awesome establishment of the College of New Jersey, and I was in the choir. I was in the gospel choir. I was there every single year. I found out about the gospel choir because when I went to a program called EOF in the summer, I walked past the chapel and I heard like singing and it was gospel music. And I'm like, I grew up on gospel. Like, who out here singing gospel music, you know, in this day and age? And I saw them and they were singing and they were having like, you know, like a little service. And I got the information and I was so happy to join. I was there all my years. But right about junior year, some of the seniors and, you know, senior directors and stuff had gone on, you know, to their careers or to, you know, their master's program and things like that. And I got appointed to be a director. I got appointed to be a choir director. And in my mind, I'm like, no. No. My growing up, you know, my brother, I was talking to Minister Marcus about this. My brother and my sister, they were so, so, so good when it came to music and harmony. Like, I would try to harmonize and I couldn't get it. And they would just be like, get it just like that. They both play, you know, the keyboard. I can't, still can't. And so all of that stuff kind of came back to me when they appointed me to be a director. And I just didn't understand. I'm like, no, I really can't do it. Don't you know, I began to hear, Lord, thank you, the song. And I heard all the parts. And I'm like, what? Where has this been all my life? But when I got appointed the position, God anointed me for it. And it just goes to show me now that the things that God has appointed us to, that we might not even have any previous experience, it's okay. Because as he is appointing, he's also simultaneously anointing you to do it. And we went on to, you know, we went on tour and did just a lot of great things, and it really strengthened. And I didn't know he was preparing me for being a praise and worship leader. I didn't know that. But that was like the training ground. And even with my natural career, I have a brand new position this year, and my principal appointed me to be the co-chair of the position that I'm in. And I'm like, co-chair? I don't know anything. Like, this is my first year. Come to find out, you know, my coworker, she's on medical leave, and I'm having to run the whole department until the last week of school. And I just, my mind is blown, because we wouldn't appoint ourselves for some things. There are some things that we would count ourselves out about. No, choose that person. They look like they got it together a little bit more than me. I think they should do it. I think they'll be better at it. But no, God, there's some things that God is appointing you to do. And he's anointing you as he appoints you. Amen. So he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So these singers had a mission. They needed to praise the beauty of holiness. These singers and these war praisers had to praise the beauty of holiness. So that says something about the lifestyle that singers for the Lord need to uphold. Then the second thing is that they had to sing these sanctified lyrics. He gave them the lyrics. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And I begin to look at this. I say, wow, God, every time that I see singers in the word of God singing for the Lord, they're always singing to God. There's never a struggle with them about what to sing and what other lyrics that they can sing that's not giving glory and honor to God, like how some of us here struggle on earth when it comes to music. Every time I begin to say, oh my God, like, every time I see singers in the Bible, I remember Mary had a song, and Elizabeth had a song, and Hannah had a song, and all of these people had a song, and David, good God, he had a whole bunch of songs. Every single song that was being, Lord, that was sung unto the Lord. Every single song was being sung to give glory, honor, praise, or worship to the Lord. There was never any other agenda. So for anybody who's confused, you know, out here, there's so many things that sound good to us. And because it sounds good to us, we want to just bring it in, like over here on this side. And God is like, no, there's a clear distinction that I want you to praise the beauty of holiness when you sing. I want you to say these words: praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm not saying anywhere. I ain't talking about, you know, getting a girl or guy in the bed. I'm not talking about my bling bling. There's none of that. There's no type of lyrics like that in the word. And sometimes we get confused because we're so much in this world, but we got to remember we're not of this world. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He gave the sanctified lyrics that they were meant to sing. They didn't veer off the path of their mission. If God has appointed you to be a singer unto him, that's exactly what he's anointed you to do. Sing unto him. Amen. Hallelujah. So verse 22 says, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And when they began to sing, between this moment of appointment, getting their instructions, and this beginning of verse 22, a decision was inserted in them, in the people. It sounded crazy. You want us to what? We about to go face these people, and you're telling us to do what? This is not what they came here for. They didn't come with a mind like, oh, we're going to be singing, and, you know, we're going to go to this war singing. There had to be a decision inserted in here. I want you to see the pattern of how much the word of God had to come to get these people to the path of victory. There's multiple times where they had to hear a word from God for them to continue on this journey. And some of us think, oh, you know what? We went to church on Sunday, and let's go ahead and obey for the rest of the week. You got to continuously hear the word of God to keep your faith up, for you to continue to obey, so that you can continue on your journey and experience the victory that's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. But we hear word, we get excited, we're ready to obey, and then we just go and we don't have any other word coming to us to help us or to remind us. Or we're not around people that's reminding us of the word that's gonna make us stay on this straight path. There was a decision inserted here by the people. He told us to sing. He's telling us what to sing. I don't wanna sing that song. I wanna sing a different song. No, he's telling us exactly which words that we gotta sing. And they begin to do it. And when they begin to do it, the insertion of their obedience, their decision to obey, coupled with the praise and the faith that's attached to that praise, the Lord said, you know what? I got something for those enemies. The Lord came up with a plan. And ambushment is a surprise attack, like a sneak attack. He said, you know what? My people are obeying. They didn't give up. They're not murmuring and complaining like they could, you know, and like we've seen them do before in times past and like we've done in our own lives. They're not doing any of that. They're even though it sounds strange to them, what I'm asking them to do, what I'm directing them to do, I see them moving forward. I see them being obedient. I see them pressing past even their own opinions and thoughts and ideas and how they may look to somebody else. And I see them obeying. I got something for those enemies. He began to plan a surprise attack. Not only was this a surprise to the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, this was also even a surprise to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. It was a complete surprise that only God could get the credit for. He began to set ambushments. And I was talking to the Lord. I said, where were these ambushments? Because before I looked up ambushments, I thought it was like almost like physical things. But it's just a surprise attack. He set the ambushments in the minds and hearts of the children of Ammon and Moab in Mount Seir. Where were these ambushments set, placed? In the hearts and the minds of the enemies. They were come against Judah and they were smitten. They were already defeated before the first person made the first kill. The children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, in their minds and in their hearts, God began to set the ambushments, and they were smitten. And in verse 23, it's because of them singing and praising and having their war praise. The children of Ammon and Moab, they came together because that ambushment was set in their mind and in their heart, and they fought against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They eliminated that enemy for them, utterly to slay and destroy them. And then once they were done with them, each one of them turned on each other. This sneak attack, God, you don't have to fight. You don't have to fight. He's allowing the enemies to turn on each other. The war praise was a praise was a song of praise. The war praise was a song about the beauty of holiness, a song about praising the Lord, about his mercy endured forever. That's what their war praise was. They yielded and they obeyed and they were able to experience a victory because of their yielding and obeying. And when I, you know, God cracked my face because I was like, you know, I was giving so much clout to the enemy, like, you know, all these devils coming against me, they all working together, you know, this one working with this one working with this one. But God said he has the power to turn the enemies on each other. And I said, wow, like the times I've experienced breakthrough is because doubt turned on fear. Doubt was trying to come against me, fear was trying to come against me, but they turned on each other. So doubt was doubting the things that was supposed to be making me fearful. And I had a breakthrough that I wasn't scared. It wasn't because of me, it's because of my obedience, my praise, my prayer, my faith, but God caused the enemies to turn on each other. when indifference and depression were coming at me as enemies. Indifference had to turn on depression and been like, I don't care if she's depressed today. Well, okay, good. Then I'm gonna choose joy today. Woo! In the realm of the spirit, he had the enemies turning on each other. I'm thinking everybody, you know, everybody's working together, and they got the devil got his army also. They so coordinated. God was, he cracked my face. He said, I have the power to make the enemies turn on each other. They got to go crawling back to Satan and say, I don't know what happened. I need lying that's trying to come against me and poverty. I need them to turn on each other. I need lying to say, no, she's not impoverished. No, and then I'm going to come out rich and wealthy. The enemies are going to turn on each other. I'm telling y'all, I was like, Lord, I hope you help me to deliver, you know, what it is that you're saying and for it to make sense. How laziness that's trying to attack me, but also lust and adultery and fornication turn on each other. Said, you're too lazy to have lustful thoughts. You're too lazy to think about adulterous thoughts. You're too lazy to fornicate. Turn on each other so that you can break through and experience the victory. I'm telling you that I want to shout right now. Hallelujah. He has the power. This is an almighty God that we're talking about. To allow the things that are coming up against you to turn on each other so that their whole assignment against you is null and is void, and you as God's people can break through and experience a victory. It was because of God's setting those ambushments. That's why that you had that moment of freedom. That's why you had that moment of victory. That's why you didn't feel like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. It was because God was at work. He's behind the scenes making this thing come through for you. You ain't got to fight. You just got to show up, stand, walk in obedience. The things that's coming against us, God has the power to turn them on each other. And you come out untouched. You come out victorious. You come out because of your war praise. It blesses him so much that I felt like he was even excited about this plan. I know exactly what I'm going to do. When he heard that song and saw that unity amongst them and that faith, they said it was to sing and to praise. So it wasn't just the singing. It was a praise that was coupled with it that caused God to move on their behalf. His plan was a surprise, not just to them, but to the enemies. They began to slay and destroy each other. Hallelujah. Bless me so much. We're going to jump and skip a little bit to verse 26. It says, and on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. Amen. On the fourth day. So for 3 days, they were just going amongst the dead bodies and just collecting stuff. They were collecting. They had riches, jewels, all of these things, of wealth. They were collecting the spoils, as the word says. They were collecting spoils for 3 days. It took 3 days for them to get all the things. And here we see them on the fourth day. And this fourth day is important. What are you doing on the fourth day? Now that God has blessed you, now that you have more than enough, now that you have more than you've ever had in your life, what is your response? On this fourth day, you can't forget what God just did for you. They assembled themselves. Each one didn't go their own way, like, you know what, I got mine, I'm good. They didn't isolate themselves and bask in all the glory that they now had. They came back together. And sometimes when we get blessed, the enemy wants us to just go and be off to ourselves with our blessing. They didn't do that. They remembered. It was these same people that were in the trenches with me when God moved for me. It was these same people praising and worshiping and praying. It was these same people whose lives were in danger, but God moved for us collectively. Now that I'm blessed, now that I have wealth, I don't go and put myself and isolate myself from the people that were there with me to help me get the blessing. That was not their mindset. For 3 days, they were collecting those spoils. More than enough. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves. The word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In whatever state, abase, rich, abound, whatever state that you find yourself. They went to the valley of Baraka. And Baraka means benediction. They came back together for the benediction. There was more that God wanted to do in them. They came back for the reflection. Let's reflect on all that God has done. They came back together with like-minded praisers, like-minded people of God who can remind you that all that stuff you got, that new house, that new car, that husband, that wife, that child, they are there to remind you that, remember, it was because of the Lord's doing. It was because of the Lord's intervention. Lest you forget and think you had something to do with it. That lest you forget and think that you have something to do with your own success. Lest you forget that it was God coming to intervene because you would have been gone. Those enemies were after you. But God miraculously turned the whole situation around in your favor. Lest you forget, beloved, that it was Him. When you go and take all your stuff and you and your family just stay to yourself, you might start forgetting. And even the children needed to be reminded. Listen, it ain't because of mommy, daddy, job. It ain't because of none of that that we have the stuff that we have. It's because of God's divine intervention in our lives. They assembled themselves together in this place of benediction, in this place of praise, in this place where God has moved for them, in this place where they sang a holy song unto God. Don't you realize that it was the holy song that caused God to move? I don't know why I keep talking about that. It was a holy song, words of holiness, to give praise and give honor and glory to God. And that led them to victory. Singing the song that God had appointed for them to sing. And that's what caused them to be blessed. I love how they came back together. I read this. This is one of the foundation scriptures for the Sound Praise and Worship Ministry here in Charlotte. But I've never gone past the victory part. And I went on. I said, well, what happened after they got their stuff? Look at the humility. They said, y'all, let's come back together. Let's celebrate. Let's brag about our God. Let's talk about what God did. It says, for there, they blessed the Lord. They weren't comparing like, man, you had two gold chains and I only got one. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't no jealousy, no comparison. They came together and they blessed the Lord because they knew that it was nobody but God that caused them to be in this place of victory. Had they not been in place and in position, had they not had this great king who could hear from God and know when everybody was a little bit shaky to know like, I need to give them another. He's like a good coach. I need to give them a pep talk. Lord, what do you want me to say to them? Believe. God, what's the word? Tell them to believe. Tell them that when they praise me, to have faith and belief in their praise. In verse 27, it talks about every man. Okay, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them. They went again to Jerusalem, but they went again with joy. So the way that you may start out this journey, obedient, a little shaky, possibly a little bit fearful, but it's how you end and how you continue to go forward. The enemy wants somebody to give up because of the things that you've heard, of the things that are against you. But God is saying, this is not even a battle that you're going to even need to fight. They went again, this time with joy. There was a joy in them coming together. There was a joy in them celebrating one another. It was a joy in them saying, man, I know you almost gave, like you, they knew each other's testimony. Like, I know you wanted to give up, but you heard the word and you kept going. You didn't leave us. You stayed with us. You fought with us. You fought through war praise with us. You stayed, and look at what God did. They were able to rejoice with one another. They were able to have joy. Some of you, you know somebody's testimony. You know that they were about to give up. You might have been about to give up, but you stayed. You stayed in place. You stayed in position, even when it seemed like you shouldn't have. And God is going to reward that. There's a victory that is awaiting you where you are going to be able to possess real joy, unspeakable joy. And other people are going to be able to see that joy on you. They've seen you be shaky. They've seen you be fearful. But there's going to be a point in time where they're going to be able to see the joy on you. And those that weren't involved with the battle, they ain't going to understand where it came from. They ain't going to understand where all of this victory and all of these riches and things came from. But you and those that were in the trenches with you, those that were in there with you, they're going to know that it was because of our God. It was because we decided to come together and praise him with faith and believe and put our full trust in him. Notice how he doesn't have them doing this thing alone. There's a people that are like-minded that will help you remember what God has done. You can have joy, not just by yourself, but somebody has the same testimony, and that y'all can rejoice over your enemies. You can rejoice together. This is why it's important for you to tell your testimony. There's some people holding some aspects of their testimony back a little bit, maybe being fearful of being judged. There's a little piece of your testimony that you want to hold back. But it says, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over the enemies. You need to rejoice over that enemy and say, you know what? This enemy had me at one point, but I continued to obey and listen and get the word. And I kept going, and God gave me victory over this particular thing. There are some things that God wants to show you in your testimony that is not going to be just for you and you to overcome, but also for somebody else to overcome who feels like they can't get the victory over it. They need to hear from you that, because when they look at you, you don't look like what you've been through. We always say we don't look like what we've been through, but then you don't tell nobody what you've been through. So the people that look like what they're going through, they feel like they always going to look like that. But you have to let them know, I serve a God who was able to deliver me from adultery, who was able to deliver me from fornication, who was able to deliver me from lying, who was able to deliver me from depression, or whatever it was, whatever enemy that God has called you to rejoice over, that you've had the victory. In verse 30, this is so awesome of our God. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. It was quiet. There was no sound of enemies coming. There was no messages coming about other nations that wanted to rise up and fight them and take their stuff. It was quiet. Because God gave him rest roundabout. And there's a rest that God desires for you. Not a rest in the sense of, I've been fighting, you know, like Oprah on Color Purple. I've had to fight all my life. You know, not that kind of rest, but a rest from being so victorious and from having so many blessings to just be able to rest in it, to just be able to rest and reflect on all that God has done. There are about to be so many blessings coming our way because you stuck and you stayed and you obeyed, that it's going to be so many things, so much more than you can, that you've ever had to receive at one given time, that there's going to be a place of just rest. Rest, enjoy not only the things, but the person who allowed you to have those things, the person who allowed you to have the victory, to be able to rest in the glory that is God's, because he's the only one who could do it. There is that place of rest. Sometimes when we run and we run and we run, we try to take our own rest. Like, well, I ain't going today. That's not the kind of rest that God is talking about. He's talking about, because you had so much victory, there's been so many blessings coming your way. This is just a time of just peace and rest. And I receive that rest in my life. I receive that rest in my life. It's encouraging me to continue to go on. And I know God has people in place in my life that's able to speak a word to me when I do feel a little shaky, but I still want to obey. I see that God has it. He has it all together for us. All we have to do is be in position with our war praise. Praise as a weapon in a song. Hallelujah. In verse 31, as I close. Yes. Right, as I close. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And in all of this victory, in all of Jehoshaphat's time of reigning, the word of God failed not to mention his mother. And I said, Lord, this is Mother's Day. And you don't got to honor that, because this is just, you know, our little tradition here in America. But I was like, he showed me that in all of this, he failed not to mention Jehoshaphat's mother and named her Azubah, which means assisted. So I just want the mothers to know that God has not forgotten you. Yes, he's going to raise up your sons and daughters to do great and awesome things. He's heard your prayers for them. Even the ones that seem like they're going a little bit opposite of the direction in which you prayed, just know that God has heard your prayers for them. And they are going to raise up, and they are going to rule, and they're going to reign, and they're going to do awesome things for him. But in all of their success, in all of their victories, God remembers you. He appointed you to be that mother that you are. He has anointed you with a special kind of love for the people that he's placed in you. And I'm speaking to mothers and mother figures alike, and those that have had to step in. He's appointed you for this position. Mother Val, he's appointed you. Therefore, he's also anointed you with a special type of love and wisdom that you have to pour out to the women. These women are going to do great things. These sons, these daughters, they're going to rule. They're going to reign. They're going to be obedient to God. They're going to speak for God. They're going to lead praises and worshipers. But God has not forgotten about the mothers. So as God honors you today, I honor you all as well in your respectful places. And I pray that the word today has blessed you. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. And please make sure to visit us at churchatphila.com for more podcasts and ways to connect with us on social, to like, subscribe, follow, and share content as it comes along. Special thanks to those who give in so many ways to this ministry. We could not do any of this without you. And if you want to give or be a part, visit churchatphila.com/give for more information. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.